KYW News Radio original podcasts.
It's just a good conversation with someone you didn't know you were interested in. I'm Matt Leon, and this is One-on-One, sponsored by your Delaware Valley Honda dealers. Get a deal you'll like on a Honda you'll love.
You see a team that works hard, a team that prepares well for the game, and is having fun doing it. You know, I think that's extremely important, that they're showing that you can play hard, work hard, and still do it in a way that everybody can stay positive and have fun and enjoy it. And that, I think that's the important part.
And our guest this week is Tom Lonergan. He is one of the top high school basketball coaches in the area. He is in his first year right now at Lansdale Catholic, but he has spent more than four decades coaching girls basketball around the area. And Tom, thanks so much for coming in studio.
Same here, Matt. Thank you.
So first year at Lansdale Catholic, how are things going in your first year there?
It's going terrific. I mean, the administration there, Meg Callen and Jim Meredith, the principal, Meg's the president of the school, and the athletic director is BJ Hogan, and just tremendous. I mean, just tremendous support, tremendous welcoming from the three of them. You could see them at every single home game. They're all present, so they really put a lot of energy and effort into the school, and they're looking for nothing but the best for the school. So it's great to be able to be a part of a school where you really feel supported by the administration.
You've made several stops over your career. At this point in your career, starting at a new program, did it feel the same as when you started at other places, or did it have a different feel to it because you've been around, you know how the sausage is made, you know how you have success? Do they all have the same feel, or was this unique?
This is definitely, I feel like I'm coming back to where I started. I started in the Catholic League. I coached a couple years as the junior varsity coach at Archbishop Ryan, which is a school that I went to in high school. From there, I went to Bishop McDevitt, where I coached for 15 years at Bishop McDevitt High School. And that's where I feel like I'm going back to the roots where I started. Had a lot of good success at Bishop McDevitt when I was there. Lansdale Catholic, there's actually a lot of former players whose kids now are at the school. So it's kind of like a McDevitt 2.0 situation so just having the opportunity to come full circle has just been very appealing to me and very enjoyable. And I'm really looking forward to a lot of a lot of good relationships and a lot of good success over the years now that I'm at Lansdale.
Prior to Lansdale, you were at Gwinnett Mercy Academy High School. I know a lot of people I talked to were surprised when you parted ways with the school.
Yes.
Is there anything you can offer as far as what happened? I don't want to push on a delicate situation, but whenever your name comes up in conversation, that's sure one of the things that gets brought up.
Sure. Yeah, I think, again, when you're coaching and have been around coaching the high school level as long as I have, which has been, again, this is my 41st year as the varsity head coach, and I had two prior years as the junior varsity coach, so 43 years at the high school level. I've been very blessed over the years. I've had tremendous support from my athletic director. When I started at Bishop McDevitt, Paul Poise was the athletic director at Bishop McDevitt. He wasn't much older than myself. So we really connected, really had a great supporting cast from there, from the principal, Dr. Sayo, who was the president at the time. From there, I moved on to Central Bucks East when my family had moved into Central Bucks East territory. So we had lived initially in Northeast Philly and then moved up to Central Bucks. And when the position opened up, it just seemed logical for me to try to, you know, to try to coach there. And John Redden, who was my athletic director at Central Bucks East, was phenomenal. I mean, just phenomenal. Just, again, very supportive. The principals there, there was a few principals when I was at Central Bucks East. Dr. Limebaugh was a final principal, was, again, very supportive, very helpful throughout the whole process. And then from there, I went to Gwinnett. I went to Gwinnett at a time where the athletic director at Gwinnett Mercy Academy was my original assistant coach at Bishop McDevitt. So I've known her I've known her now. She's a very close friend, known her for 40 some years. At one point, both her and her husband had helped me coach. And for 10 years at Gwinnett, you know, I had full support from her, full support from the administration. Sister Pat, who was the original principal, when I had gotten to Gwinnett, real good connection with her and my father, who's actually an archdiocesan priest. So really good connection at this school. When Terry Fasano had decided to retire prior to last season, It was just different. I mean, the new athletic director coming in, there was no connection. I saw a change in the school. I saw a change in the league. When Lansdale Catholic had the opportunity to open up, I had gotten numerous calls. I had gotten calls from Monica Stalick, who teaches at the school. She was a longtime friend and coach. She started in Conwell Egan when I was at Bishop McDevitt. She calls me up like within 5 minutes when it opened up. I got a call from Maggie DeMarla-Leary, who was the longtime, very successful coach at Lansdale Catholic. And she calls me up to all asking for support, saying that, you know, you're really going to like it there. And within 5 minutes of meeting Megan Cowan and Jim Meredith and BJ Hogan, I said, this is the place I want to be.
So let's now dig into your story growing up. Were you a big sports person as a kid, playing, watching, and was basketball your favorite?
I grew up, the Broad Street Bullies. So everybody played street hockey. You came home from school, you're either out playing street hockey or you're out playing two-hand touch out on the field, and you had your Saturday night tackle football without equipment. You know, that was kind of the era I grew up in. I loved football. I loved baseball, and I loved basketball. And where I fell in love with basketball is very early on. I'm one of eight children. There's four sisters and three brothers. My four sisters were incredible athletes. My oldest sister, actually, today, she's the one who pushed me into coaching. She's the one who pushed me into really getting more involved in the basketball. She was an unbelievable basketball player back in the days when Immaculata and actually a lot of the community schools in the area were the teams to play and beat, part of that Kathy Rush era. So from an early age on, she kind of encouraged me to get it into coaching at the girls level, because prior to that I started coaching at the boys level when I was a sophomore in high school. Harry Schreiber back then from Summerton Youth Organization, he was my coach, and he was looking for players to help out with the younger kids. I said, okay, I'll try it. And I really just had a connection. I really liked what it was, what the coach does, the teaching part of it. And, so I went on. I started coaching CYO at my parish, St. Christopher's. Dan McKendry was a big influence there for me. But then it was my older sister. She's like, you know, the girls position opened up at Archbishop Ryan for the JV position. She said Nancy Carney was the athletic director. She said, I know her very well. Do you think you'd be interested? I said, sure, I'll try it out. And 43 years later, I loved it. I mean, it was the best thing for me. I mean, I love the relationships that have grown over the years. And, so I've always been big like that. And my father certainly helped, because he made me fall in love with basketball, because him and his partner, who was big, huge St. Joe's fans, they had season tickets to the Palestra back when all the teams played at the Palestra. And I mean, our seat was right under the basket, right at the St. Joe's bench where they would be. And so I went all the time, and I just loved it. I love that first basket when the confetti's coming flying out of the stands. And so I really just fell in love with it. I'm surprised that I went to LaSalle and not to St. Joe's, because I thought I was going to be the next Hawk at St. Joe's. So, but I ended up at LaSalle, but I said, I think all that combined is really what made me fall in love with the game.
How old were you when you got the JV job at Ryan?
I was still in college.
Okay.
So
20-ish?
Yeah, I think I was about 20, 21 maybe, because when I received the Bishop McDevitt position, I just graduated from college. So I was 22 going on 23.
What'd you major in at LaSalle?
Business, which is why I went to LaSalle and not to St. Joe's at the time. LaSalle was more known as a business school, so that's kind of steered me toward LaSalle University. I mean, LaSalle College at the time.
When you start coaching, you said you loved it. Did you feel like you were good at it at first?
I felt like I was able to connect with the players, and I felt that early on that there was a connection I was able to get with the players, and I felt that is one of the most important things in coaching, is to be able to connect and relate to the players. So, yes, I would say early on I felt like I was able to connect with that. A lot of times you don't really know how much you're connecting with them until a long time later. And that's what's been the beauty of coaching as long as I have, is all those former players, the relationships that have grown, and them coming back and in support and seeing, like, for most recently we had a pretty big rivalry game between LC and Archbishop Wood up at Archbishop Wood. And numerous players that I coached 30, 35 years ago, 20 years ago, all came to, you know, to just stop by to pick that game just to say hello. And that's things you don't realize that at the time, but you certainly realize it years later on how you touched the lives of so many people.
In those early days, where did your X and O knowledge come from, just from watching the game?
Yeah, I was definitely a student of the game where I would watch the game differently. It's funny because to this day, I still try to preach to my players to watch it the way I watched it, which is I try to watch it from the coach's standpoint. I listen very closely to the color analyst every game. Whereas nowadays I continue to watch it. My wife, who was a former NCAA Division I college basketball official for 35 years, she watches it in another way. She watches it from the official standpoint. I watch it from the coach's standpoint. So I always watch it that way. Whereas players tend to watch it just watching the players and having the connection with certain players. But I watched it early on from a coach's standpoint and really loved the game, loved the how you do the X's and O's. And basically, I think the biggest part is how you adjust as the game progresses. Because everybody goes into the game with some sort of game plan. But I think what's really unique about the sport is it's a quick-moving sport. It's a high-scoring sport. So your original game plan may not be throughout that 32-minute contest. So it's really how do you adjust as the game progresses on. So I always found that to be very intriguing.
Did you decide early on that you were going to stay on the girls' side? Was there ever any thought of going to the boys' side? Or you started to have success, you talk about that connection. Was it just, this is the road I want to travel?
I started with the boys, like I said, as a sophomore in high school, up through even my first 2 years at Archbishop Ryan as the girls' JV coach, not sure still which direction I had. So I was actually coaching the CYO boys' varsity team at the time for my parish, as well as the JV girls. But it didn't take me too long. I mean, the girls are so respectful. I mean, they're so respectful. They're easy to connect with. And I think more importantly, I have two boys. I have no girls. So as my wife will tell us, every year we seem to have another set of 12 or 24 girls, depending on how many's in the program. And it's just, again, it's a connection. The girls are very respectful. They listen. And that's what I think is very enjoyable about coaching.
Having four sisters growing up, how much does that dynamic, did it help you coaching girls? Because you kind of learn how to maneuver things surrounded yes. by women that a lot of guys probably don't have that skill set, right?
Yes, absolutely. My four sisters, even to this day, they're always still looking out for me. And even back then, they were. I was the middle child, so they tended to really look more out for myself. And like I said, I loved going to see their games. I mean, they played for Archbishop Ryan, you know, it was just fun and exciting. I mean, and they, like I said, they were great athletes within themselves. So,
and having a wife who's an official, that's got to be fascinating. How often are you bouncing stuff off her? Like, watch this. Can you believe they called this? And how often is she like, well, they actually got it right. So, like, what is that? Do you guys talk a lot of hoops from that standpoint?
Yes. Our family is hoops. I mean, although I will say that we are a little bit unique because, I try to preach this to as many people that I get the chance to talk this about. So, we also love the arts and music. I mean, we have season tickets to the Walnut. We have season tickets to the Kimmel. And that kind of gives us our avenue out from the hoop world. But during the hoop time, and we're all in. I mean, my wife, that's how we met. I was early on coaching at Bishop McDevitt. She had started out refereeing high school ball, and she was also the junior varsity coach at Archbishop Wood. And back then, I was selected to do the Keystone State Games, which is like an Olympic event for the Keystones back then. And they told me there's one thing I can do, which is you're the head coach, but you get to pick who your assistant coach is. So my players at the time, some of which actually is helping coach, the one Jenny McGowan is now helping coach with me at Lansdale, kept on trying to shove me toward my wife. He goes, there's that blonde over there. You know, why don't you see if she wants to help coach it? So that's sure enough. I asked her. We went up to Scranton that year, and we're now been married 35 years. She just recently retired 3 years ago. She had refereed at the college Division I level for 35 years, participated in the NCAA tournament as an official for numerous years. When she retired, she then went on to she's now the regional advisor of officials. So she works at NCAA, which has really made it that much more exciting. So we would not only watching her ref for all those years and her coming and supporting our team and then watching our officials and going back and forth. Now we have the opportunity. We've been going to the Final Four every the last 3 years, the Sweet 16, the Elite Eights, all because that's all the stuff she has to be at. And it's really just made it the world that much more exciting. And it couldn't have happened at a better time because women's basketball right now is just exploding.
Having a wife who's an official, how does that affect your relationship with your game officials? Do you feel like you give more grace maybe than most coaches because you understand how hard they're working and how difficult it is to do what they're doing? What is it like? Do you feel like you might have a different relationship with game officials if your wife was a CPA and was not officiating at all?
Well, I guess, I mean, because again, she does try to attend as many games as possible. So, and the officials know my wife, not only because she's one of the few female officials that came from Philadelphia that has gotten to the level that she's been able to achieve as a Division I basketball official. So a lot of the officials in here know her from that, but now they know her even more from the fact that she oversees all these Division I officials throughout the East Coast, and she's one of only four advisors in the country. So I'm sure their one eye is looking toward her when they go to make a call, you know, and the other eye is looking toward me as far as maybe what my reaction is. So it's hard to tell. The officials that I've known for a long time, we get along great, you know, so it's usually not a problem.
So you're the JV coach. You started at Ryan, then McDevitt. How's the door open to get you to Bishop McDevitt?
That, again, I think a lot of that goes back to I had a really good connection with the athletic director, Paul Poise, and I think that through the interview process too, I won't kid anybody, what helped a lot was my mom's she has four brothers, three of them were priests, one was a Monsignor, and he knew the principal of the school very well. So that, I think, helped. You know, being only 2 years as a junior varsity coach at the time. So I think that certainly helped to get my foot in the door. And then I think from there, I was very blessed. I had an extremely talented group of young ladies. My point guard, who was a sophomore my first year, is now the head coach at St. Joe's, Cindy Anderson Griffin, you know, and unbelievably successful coach at St. Joe's. And I've had the privilege and honor to have coached her two daughters through Gwinnett. And, you know, Jenny McGowan was a stud, went on to Division I at LaSalle. She's a freshman. She's now one of my assistant coaches this year. You know, Ro McGarity, who went on to Villanova, a Division I. Her daughter's the best player on Archbishop Wood this year, Emily Nouse, who's a tremendous kid. She's their star player at Wood. And it's just the uniqueness of it all coming full circle. It's so exciting to see that.
As you start coaching, when do you feel like you started to hit your stride as far as success, comfort with the job, understanding all that goes into it? You know, was it relatively early? Do you feel like it took a few years? What would you say?
I mean, to be honest, I never really thought of it that way. Anybody who knows me, I put a lot of time and energy into whatever I do. So as a coach, I put in a lot of energy and time, not just continuing to try to learn the game myself, because I'm a firm believer, even somebody who's been coaching for 43 years at the high school level, there's always something you can learn new every day. And so I'm always trying to strive for that. I'm a big statistical person since I'm involved with finances. So I'm always analyzing the stats and always analyzing how things can do better. And, you know, so always putting in that time. So never really stepped back to, you know, wonder like when things started getting better, because from day one, I was very blessed from day one to have such a successful group of players. To think that you come in at the varsity level and you have a Cindy Anderson who goes on to play St. Joe's Division I, Ro McGarity goes on to Villanova to play Division I, Jenny McGowan who goes on to LaSalle to play Division I, to have three Division I players, a fourth player that year, Joyce Diamond, who went on to Textile at the time, Division II. And then where I am right now, Lansdale, be able to have an opportunity to go to Lansdale Catholic and coach again an unbelievably successful group of girls. I mean, Sanaya Littlejohn, who's a senior that's at Lansdale, and she's Division I going to George Mason next year. Grace McDonough, who's my 6'2 center, tremendous kid, and having the opportunity to go Division I next year at James Madison. And then Nadia Mola, who's my shooting guard, and she's going to go Division II at Kutztown, and they're going to absolutely love her because she's one of the best shooters that I've been able to be associated with as a coach. So,
when you're at McDevitt, what is your earliest memory of having real success?
For us, it was, again, we were blessed very early on. We had, after the first season, so that was, so we came in with three very good freshmen. That was Jenny McGowan, Roe McGarry, and Joyce Diamond. They're all freshmen my first year. So that year, you know, it was a while since McDevitt was competitive. We were able to right away be competitive in the league, but we did get knocked out in the Catholic League playoffs. And then the next 3 years, we went on to win 45 straight Catholic League games, three straight Catholic League titles. Two of those teams, one which would have been Cindy Anderson's senior year, that team finished 10th in the country by USA Today. And then Jenny McGowan and Roe McGarry's senior year, their senior year, which was the year after that, they finished 15th in the country. So very early on, our teams really had gotten a lot of success and a lot of recognition.
So in the middle of that winning streak, you got to be, what, 25-ish?
Yes.
24, 25,
yeah.
26? Do you realize how unusual it is to have that high level of success that young? Or probably like most people, you're not thinking in those terms and you're just like, well, we're good and we're going to keep trying and keep, you know, moving up the mountain here.
Yeah, again, like I said, at the time, you don't think about it. And it's actually my oldest son who's been coaching with me now for about 12 years. He's my assistant back with me. He was head coach there for a little bit, for about 3 years. He's back coaching with me. He's the one that keeps reminding me about all this stuff. I don't really think too much on that. But I guess, yeah, looking back, being young like that at 25, I mean, I did have an opportunity after that third title to Drexel University, as possibly going there as an assistant coach for them. And I decided, you know, I didn't know if that's what I wanted to do. I mean, I loved coaching at the high school level. And looking back, I'm glad I didn't, because I really loved the opportunity of what I've been able to do for the 40-some years at the high school level and all those lives you're able to touch.
And was that really kind of the point where you decided you were going to stay at high school for the duration?
Yes, yes. Yeah. It was early on in my coaching career that I made that decision, because I said I did have that opportunity very early on. And, decided, no, this is where I wanted to be. And this is, and that's why when Lansdale had the opportunity to open up and the opportunity to go back full circle, to go back to the Catholic League, to go back to the league that, if you talk to any of the girls' coaches in the area, would say your top cream teams from that league are just the best in not only the area, but best in the state. So to be able to go back to that and enjoy it and have that small school atmosphere, which Lansdale has, and to go back to my Catholic roots, having that opportunity, I'm just so grateful that it was able to happen.
We need to take a break on One-on-One. We will have more with Tom Lonergan in just a moment. But right now, there's nothing quite like the Honda Accord Hybrid and the CR-V Hybrid when it comes to exhilarating efficiency. With hybrid technology and thrilling capability, these vehicles deliver an electrifying performance on every drive. Discover for yourself what truly makes these hybrids special. Redefine your driving experience with Honda, KBB.com's best value brand of 2023. Contact your local Honda dealer today about the Honda Accord Hybrid and the CR-V Hybrid. And now on One-on-One with Matt Leon, let's get back to our conversation with Tom Lonergan, head girls varsity basketball coach at Lansdale Catholic High School.
I think I know the answer to this, but I'll ask it anyway. Were you always, I don't know, determined, or was your plan always to stay in the area, in the Philadelphia area? Did you ever give a thought of, or did you ever get a call just gauging interest going somewhere outside the area?
No, yeah, no, we're homebodies. So, you know, my family, again, one of eight, basically all, for the most part, all but my one sister's who's down in Virginia, we're all pretty much in the area. Same with my wife. I mean, she's one of five. So, or you know, especially her one brother and their family that we're very close with is nearby. She has a sister out in Minnesota. you know, one down in Maryland, but never really thought about moving outside of the area.
Being one of eight, I asked you how having sisters helps you coaching girls basketball, but just being one of eight kids, does that help you as a coach? Because when you're in a family that big, there is kind of like built-in problem solving you have to develop. You have to learn how to wait your turn. You have to learn how to share stuff like that, that, you know, that's a you don't see families that size anymore. Does that provide life lessons that have served you well as a coach?
Absolutely. Absolutely. So the big delicate balancing act from any coach is, you know, you're supposed to treat everybody equally, right? So my parents, they try to treat us all equally, but they knew that even in a family setting that everybody is still an individual, and they had a really unique way of being able to treat each of us equally, but at the same time being able to take it, being able to how to deal with that individual and what really encourages that person. So, and that's what I've tried to bring to coaching is realize you try to treat everybody equally, but you also have to be able to relate individually with them. And that's where I think I've done a pretty good job of trying to do that in the 40 some years.
What led to the move from McDevitt to CB East?
I at the time was working in Northeast Philly. That's where our office was. And my oldest, we were in Northeast Philly living. So going from there to Bishop McDevitt was not a big problem. We then subsequently had moved to Warwick Township, Jamison, and our offices had moved out to that area as well. And then our second son was born, and we were in the school district where I ended up going, which is CB East. And it so happened that my neighbor, that daughter played for CB East. And within minutes when we moved in, he knew of me as a coach. He came over and said, you know, the coaching position opened up at CB East. So would you be interested? And I said, absolutely. So it certainly cut down on the travel for me. So that's what led me over to Central Bucks East. And I said, the athletic director there right away, John Redden, really had a great connection, and so I had great, successful 14 years there.
How long do you feel like it takes you to really get a good feel for what your teams are capable of? Like, is it something that you can come out of, like, early practices and say, okay, this is probably our ceiling? Do you need a couple of games? Does it differ depending on the group? You know, but how long would you say it takes you?
It's funny you ask that question, because our last game, the principal of the school, like I said, they're very supportive at Lansdale Catholic. And this was an away game. So this was not at Lansdale. This was an away game. The principal shows up. So Jim Murtis shows up. And after the game, you know, we're talking for a little bit. And I'm trying to explain to him how, you know, it would have been nice to have had more time with the team. And he keeps on telling me, he's the one reminding me, Coach, you just got the position back in the middle of October. So even to this day, we're still trying to learn and know each other, both the team and the players, and it's coming along great. I mean, you could see us keep on a daily basis, both in practice and through our game sets, keep getting better and better and better. So, but to answer your question, it usually starts when the other season ends. You know, so right away, the first thing you're doing is you're interviewing your returning players. You're getting them to get their opinions of how the season went. You're also sitting down with your seniors that are graduating and sort of like an exit interview, like you would in work, asking them what they thought of the program for the 4 years that they were part of it, and trying to take those goods and positives and move that forward into the next season. And then watching your team through the AAU season, watching your team through the spring and the early summer months. You know, one of the things that I've done in trying to promote girls basketball for the 40 some years is I was very inspirational in starting summer leagues. So I organized and conducted girls summer leagues for high school for 40 some years. And then most recently, the last four or five, when the AAU really got more prevalent out there, me and some of the other coaches that are really solid programs, we've kind of formed our own little mini summer league. And that time period is when you kind of evaluate your team and see what you think's going to work, what's not going to work. So that I would say it's really that time between the end of the season and in the fall.
From an X and O standpoint, do you coach the same way now as you did when you started, as far as what you stress, style, how you play defense, or has that evolved over the years as the game has changed? You know, three-point line, a lot of changes to the game itself. But at your core, do you feel like X and O-wise, you're doing mostly the same types of things?
I would say no. I mean, I would say, again, I think you have to constantly be evolving not just how you teach and not how you relate with the players, but even the game itself. So, again, back when I first started coaching, we were a team that might have played 5-6 different defenses, depending on where the ball was on the floor. And like I said, Jenny McGowan, who's now coaching me, will tell you that. Like, it's like different sets. I'm trying to encourage a little bit about that with the team at Lansdale Catholic. But on the other hand, our style is a little bit different defense, even from a defensive standpoint. Offensively, there's so many ideas that keep growing in the game. And different offensive sets, like one offensive set that we're running this year, I've never run in the 40-some years because we have the size. We have Grace McDonough, again, who's 6'2". We have one of my former players at Gwinnett, who's now with me at Lansdale Catholic. She's 5'10". It's Allie Kaltenbacher. So we run more of a post offensive set versus maybe a guard-oriented set that we've run in the past. So I think it's knowing and analyzing your team and then figuring out what you need to do with it.
I think you've won, over your stops, 20 league championships. Do they all hit the same? Are there certain ones that stand out, maybe because of the journey that team took or the way it all came together? Or do they just kind of blur together in a kind of mosaic of success?
I don't even know how many games I've coached over those years. So they definitely, there's a lot blurring. Like my son, again, my oldest son would be able to answer that question a lot better than I could. But there definitely was a couple games that I would say would have stood out. Number one would have been, so when I was at Bishop McDevitt, our first three Catholic League championships, those games were played at St. Joe's. The first opportunity that the girls had to play at the Plestra was in 94 when we were down in 94, and that was our fourth Catholic League championship. And that experience going down to Plestra, knowing, as I said, that's what I fell in love with the game, going to the game and seeing the Big Five games. And so having the opportunity to go in 1994 to the Plestra and have your team play in front of 8,000 fans. And believe me, the students back there were just as into it as they are now. And, you know, that was extremely exciting. And then to follow that up a few years later in 97, although we did not win that championship down at Plestra, again, to have the opportunity to play at the Plestra. And I remember so vividly looking across the court and Pat Summitt sitting there right across the court. He was there recruiting one of the players on Cardinal O'Hara. And then I think one of the non-championship type games that's very memorable would have been in 97. Again, it was in the semifinals of the Catholic League, and it was a 4-overtime win at St. Joe's. So the semifinals were St. Joe's that year, and it was a 4-overtime win. And we were playing Archbishop Carroll, and the assistant coach back then is now the head coach of LaSalle. It's Mountain. He was the assistant coach back then, and Carroll was loaded. They had 5 Division I players. I had Jen Zenzer, who was Division I player, phenomenal. She's on the Hall of Fame at LaSalle, and surrounded by 4 other players that just worked their butts off. And I remember so vividly after the 3rd overtime saying to them, "Aren't we having fun?" You know, and they just laughed, and you know, we could look over, and I don't think the other team was having too much fun. So that game was extremely memorable. I mean, even to this day. And so the answer is, yeah, there's definitely some games that stick out, but overall, it tends to blur.
You picked up your 800th win earlier this season. What does a milestone like that mean to you?
It's again, I don't think of them. I don't even know when they come up. Again, my son, if he wasn't keeping track of all this, I don't know if we would even know this. So, but I thought it was quite humorous that BJ, who's the athletic director at Lansdale, so first thing he does when he comes up to me, he goes, "Okay, coach, you know, like, we ain't giving you one for 900. So the next one's going to be when you get 1,000. So I'm like, so I said, "Okay, BJ, I'll be here for that." Okay.
Do you feel like the kids have changed over the years, or do you feel like kids are fundamentally the same?
Well, certainly society has changed. And, you know, you certainly cannot coach the way you would have done 40 years ago. You know, so I think that the players, for the most part, are as dedicated as they were back 40 years ago. just in a different way. I mean, 40 years ago, the dedication was more where they would go out to the backyard and have the hoops in the backyard and work on their ball handling skills or their shooting skills in their backyard, or go up to the nearby playground, you know, and even during the winter, you know, grab a shovel and shovel out the snow and shoot outside and basically try to get involved with pickups, you know. And I think that's what it was. But nowadays, again, just as dedicated, okay, putting in the time and effort, and sometimes even to a great degree, even more so, but more structured, you know, more involved with trainers, you know, more involved with especially at the girls' level, more involved with the AAU program. I mean, nowadays there's more AAU programs than there ever was back then, you know, so there's more opportunities for everybody if this is a sport that they love, that this is, there's opportunities for you to get better. And so there's more trainers out there. There's more AAU opportunities out there. You know, so to answer your question, you know, I think that the girls were just as committed 40 years ago as they are today. It's just that it's a little bit different on their commitment.
You talked about a lot of your players that have gone on to play college basketball, a lot of going on to play Division I. How did you learn how to deal with college coaches and how to promote your kids and to steer them in the right direction? And, you know, because that would be something, especially I think as a young coach, it could be almost overwhelming. Oh my mm-hmm. God, Coach X wants to come to practice, or Coach X is on the phone. Like, you know, what was that skill set like, learning how to best handle that and do the best by the kid?
Again, that's actually another part of the job as a coach that I really enjoy. And that's the opportunity to help, you know, help give back to your players all that time and effort that they're trying to give to the program. So as a coach, that's your opportunity to be able to help your players. And that is to talk with those college coaches, whether it be at the Division I, II, or III level. Again, I'm blessed being around for as long as I have. I basically know firsthand most of the coaches, whether at the Division III, II, or I level in the area and outside the area. There's a lot of former players that have gone on to be coached. They're not just Cindy Anderson at St. Joe's, but Stacy McCullough Weiss, who's now the associate head coach at Drexel, Shannon Bush, who's the associate head coach up at Cornell. So these are former players and the connections that grow from that. And then there's a lot of players that I coached against. So as a coach, like Denise Dillon at Villanova, you know, at Cardinal O'Hara connection, there's always that connection between McDevitt and O'Hara. I mean, that's who the 97 championship was. That was the 1994 championship. It was against Cardinal O'Hara. So, yeah, you get to get connections like that. And so you try to use those connections to help your players. And again, it's not just the Division I. Division III, Bobby Morgan, me and her grew up together. Our kids grew up together. She's at Your Sinus now, and it's a great school. So, you know, not all players can be Division I or II, you know, and there's so many opportunities if they want to continue to play at the college level to play at Division III. So it's talking with your players, talking with their families, and letting them know, look, I'm here for you, but I'm going to be totally honest with you that I have a connection with these coaches because they'll take my call because they know what I say is the truth, you know. And if you can play for St. Joe's, if you can play at Drexel, and I make a call on your behalf, it's because I believe you can too. But, you know, it's just getting them to be more realistic and letting them know that I'm there for them, but they have to be realistic on where they think they can play.
Do you prefer games or practice as a coach?
So again, I'm very structured. So it's hard sometimes at practices because you don't know. Like you come into the practice, you're certain you want it structured a certain way, but then there could be a lot of distractions that doesn't allow you to accomplish exactly what you want. Whereas a game, again, just like a practice, you go into the game with a game plan. But I think what I like the most is being able to adjust as the game adjusts, you know. So you go in with a game plan, and it's not just those first 10 plays of the game, but what do you do after that, you know, and how do you adjust to the game? So that, to me, has always been intriguing. And again, as I said earlier, I watched the game early on from the coach's standpoint. I was always watching how did they adjust to the game? Always listening to that color analyst explain, like, the adjustments throughout the game. And, you know, so that's what I've always tried to bring to my coaching style is that. So I think that's something that is what I look forward to the most.
In your career, different schools, is there a kid or who is the kid that exceeded your expectations the most? Like maybe as a freshman, you just thought, welcome her on the team, but she probably doesn't have the skill set. And then at the end of your career was like, I can't believe what this player became. Is there one player whose arc just you never would have anticipated when you first started coaching her?
That's a tough one. Most recently, there was a player that, not so much from a basketball standpoint, but from a player as far as what, how you made an impact on her life. And that was, her name was Susan Timlin. So she was, you know, her sport was softball. She was a great softball player. So she was a role player for us off the bench and, you know, just worked really hard. You know, wasn't the most gifted basketball player, but just really put in the time and energy and worked hard. And you didn't realize how much you really impacted her life until years later when you get a letter from her saying how much that the work ethics that we gave to her and the relationship that we were able to build has enabled her to be the teacher that she is today. So from a non-athletic standpoint, you know, I think that's somebody that certainly stands out to me. From a basketball standpoint, again, that's such a hard question. I mean, 40-some years of coaching, I'm not sure if I can find one particular one. But
do you have a game day routine?
Yes, I'm very superstitious. There's actually, when I was at Central Bucks East, the coaches had to go on the bus in a certain way. So we had to walk in a certain order on the bus before we go to the game. So far at Lansdale, because Lansdale, we're back to taking a lot of buses again. We haven't had to do that routine because the coaches, a lot of times it's just me on the bus. So it's an easy routine. It's me walking on a bus and being on. But it's the, you know, which socks you have to wear that day, which shirt. Okay, that shirt didn't do well the last game. You got to go with another one. You know, I'm definitely superstitious.
Do you have a favorite part of game day? Like maybe the moments in the locker room before the kids go out, or when you first get on the sideline, the anticipation of tip-off, or coming down the stretch, a game you know you win. And I'm just throwing out examples of things that people have told me. Right. But is there a favorite part of game day?
Yeah, I would say there's a couple. So I think it first starts, since you don't know if you're home or away, I think it first starts when you're in the locker room before the game. And one thing that I've tried to develop over the years is a method of trying to get the players to all players from 1 to 12 to be more communicative out on the floor and amongst themselves. So we start off every game with what we call it's time to stand up. And that's where a player each game is selected to give that pregame talk and try to get the team pumped and ready to go. To me, that's the unique time when you see like that certain player that maybe is a little bit quiet and all of a sudden they come up with some really unbelievable pregame talk. They really get the team inspired. And so that's always unique, that part of it. And then I would say it's when you walk out initially on the floor and you're looking out to see who's there and who came out to show support. But then I think the most important part and the most exciting part of the game is when the game comes to a conclusion and you get those former players that come out to see you once a year. You know, their kids are growing up or have already grown up and they're outside the area or they have no connection at all with the school that you're coaching at. But they just come out just to let you know that, you know, coach, you know, that connection you were able to build when they were in high school. There's still some connection there. And I think is when that game's over and you have the opportunity to see them come over and say hi and give us an update on how their lives are going. I mean, I think that's the most exciting.
And my final question, all your stops over your career, what would you want people to take away from watching a Tom Lonergan coached team? What is the main thing you want them to take away that they're going to see, experience, get from one of your teams?
I would say that you see a team that works hard, a team that prepares well for the game, and is having fun doing it. You know, I think that's extremely important that they're showing that you can play hard, work hard, and still do it in a way that everybody can stay positive and have fun and enjoy it. And that, I think that's the important part.
Tom Lonergan, thanks so much for coming in. This was great.
Matt, thank you.
And that will do it for this week's episode of One-on-One with Matt Leon, sponsored by your Delaware Valley Honda dealers. Get a deal you'll like on a Honda you'll love. want to thank Lansdale Catholic head girls varsity basketball coach Tom Lonergan for coming in studio and being our guest this week. Now, if you like this show and you listen on Apple Podcasts, do us a favor, leave us a rating and a review. You can follow the show on X at @1onone_pod. You can follow me there as well at @MattLeon1060. Thanks so much for listening, and be sure to check us out again next week when we bring you another conversation with someone you should know more about.